Orthodoxy and one is someone outside the pale of Orthodoxy. And it's not so simple. I can say pretty clearly that Mordechai Kaplan is most likely outside the pale of Orthodoxy. But as you get a little bit more difficult, it gets a little bit more difficult. So eventually, you're going to invite into that base measures. What you're going to find is that it's a problem. But it's a two-sided coin. You have to understand the danger of the problem. If you define that line of who gets into the base measures too tightly, you got sinas chinam. If you try it too broadly, you have the breakdown of maybe Orthodox theology. But the fact is we have to understand what we're playing with when we deal with these issues. And by the way, there's major controversy with these issues today, if you're aware of it. Okay, there's controversy of these issues in terms of the Gimli Karm of major proportions, the whole issue of Mashiachis, David Berger versus others. That was an issue on where you draw the line. Nowadays, there's a book out by Dr. Mark Shapiro on the limits of Orthodox theology. There's other people who won't speak to him. The book is banned in certain bookstores. The fact of the matter is that, and I'm not saying where it is, but you're dealing with major issues, and the fact is that these issues are not just philosophy and theology. These are issues that Rambam and Shulchan, this is issues that deal with the reason for the Churban. So you have to take these issues very seriously. Because if you don't understand that if you call someone an Apikoros and a Min, who's not an Apikoros and a Min, it comes back to you, and it's a pagam of Sinas Chinam. And the fact is that this is what happened in the Churban. The Marsha says everyone formed cliques. It was my clique. This is the shul I go to, and that's the shul I don't go to. Rural talks about this as well. It's a very, very, very strong issue. Very powerful issue. But I want to take it one step further. Because I said that with the absence of Sinas Chinam, or I should say with Sinas Chinam, with the idea that we don't have this base medrash, it's not just the fact that we're lacking something, we're also lacking the ability to have true Avos Yisrael. Now, Sinas Chinam is not just the fact that it creates negativity and creates cliques. We should also know how to connect, and we should care for each other in a proper fashion. But the fact is that the real understanding of caring comes from the correct manifestation of the hatred. In other words, if you feel that someone's an Apikoros and a Min, you're angry about their viewpoint, you have a reason to be angry. You have a reason to have negative emotions. What do you do with it? It's Sinas Chinam. The problem with Sinas Chinam is not simply we should all love each other in some relativistic morality and just love each other. The problem with Sinas Chinam is we don't use the hatred to develop a proper Avos Yisrael. And that's what's important. Not just that I advocate caring for each other. It's the person that you have broigas with, the person you think is wrong, and you have very strong emotions about that, and you really are angry at them, and you're willing to actually, you know, tell the guy off. Or you're willing to not talk to that person. That's real Sinas Chinam. But the fact is what you're lacking in understanding is if you don't take that emotion and apply it correctly, that's the real tragedy. It's not that you have that emotion. It's not just, oh, it's too bad we have this emotion, we should love. It's the fact that you don't take that emotion and apply it correctly. And to really understand that, you have to look at a famous Gemara in Kedushin. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba. Afilu ha'avu b'no ha'ravu tamido sha'oskim b'tara. Even a father and son and a rav and his students that are involved in Torah, Bishar Echad in one place, in that base medrash. Nasim oivim ze et ze. They become enemies one to the other. Notice if you really care about Torah, and you're in that base medrash, The first step is that you're going to be angry at each other and you're going to fight with each other. That's the first step. Why? Because you're dealing with issues that are important to you. Bar Kamsa should be upset that he's a Pharisee. He should be wondering why didn't the Rabbanan get involved. These are important issues. We are supposed to be passionate about Torah. We're supposed to take our stand. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, which are the greatest examples of long among combatants, still combated each other. And when Beis Shammai was able to win the day, they were very happy about it. Fact is the first step of combating Sinas Chidim is to understand that we are supposed to have these strong emotions. If we see someone that we think is not becoming to the men, we're supposed to be angry about it. But what are we supposed to do about it? The Einam Zazim Mishama should not seem Ovim Zeetzeh. They don't leave until they become friends one to another. In other words, what we need is we need the passion of Torah. That's why there were Omer Yitzhorah, there were Tzaddikim. They really cared about Torah. But the fact is that there was still a little bit of their self, and they have to understand that what they needed to do is they needed to confront. They needed to talk in Torah. They needed to understand the other Shita. The fact is that if you care about Torah learning, and you care about the values of Torah, the first level is going to be friction. Because, as Rav Moshe says, Nigros Moshe, it's impossible for there to only be one Shita in Torah. That the reality of the truth of Torah is that there are many, many, many divergent shitot. And the truth of Torah is the truth of divergent shitot. And our obligation is to work as hard as we can to understand the emes, to understand the truth. And that's our responsibility. And therefore, as he says in his opening, in his introduction to the Igros Moshe, our responsibility is to work as hard as we can to try and get the truth. That's our responsibility. But then he says in Igros Moshe that ultimately this Gemara in Kedushin tells us that from the passion that you have for your learning in Torah that leads to a conclusion and a pshita and a viewpoint, the next step is when you argue with someone of a different shita, and you're not going to walk away agreeing. You're going to walk away in disagreement. That the result is from that shaklavatarya and from that debate, greater love is created. Why? Because Rav Moshe says, "Kol medasa b'torah shulata ledasa emes." Loich was called Sad. Because ultimately, in another place he says it in terms of Ratzon Hashem Yisbarach, ultimately, when you take a Shita in Torah, it's an ethical position or a value position that you have. You have a certain viewpoint. It's a very strong viewpoint. But when you argue with someone who has a diametrically opposite opinion, and he's quoting Gemaras, and you're quoting Gemaras, and he's quoting Shitas, and you're quoting Shitas, and it's all based upon the similar system, you basically recognize that there's a value above every other value. And that's a search for the emes and the Ratzon Hashem. Ultimately, halachic practice is not in its minutiae of specific observance. The value of halachic practice is in whether you think you're doing the Ratzon Hashem. And when you understand that concept, when you fully understand that concept, then you really understand what really is the bond of halacha and Klal Yisrael. It's not what you do. It's the fact that what you do is a result of an investigation of the highest level in Torah and the result of the individual's attempt to know Ratzon Hashem. I must tell you that I actually saw that once. When I was in the Yisrael, and I decided to go to Yeshiva University, I had an older bacher who I was quite friends with. I used to learn with him on a pretty regular basis. And he got very angry that I was going to YU. He stopped talking to me for a little while. About 7 years later, I ran into him again in Eretz Yisrael. So I said to him, Yitzchak, are you going to start talking to me again? And he said, I made a terrible mistake. Right? Now I really hold to the Rav, and I made a terrible mistake. And I said, where did you learn this from? He said, I learned it from my next-door neighbor. His next-door neighbor was an individual named Dov Frimmer. I should say the individual I was talking about is the first one named Yitzchak Reidler. He was a Talmid Muvhak of Rav Gusman, and very much involved in the Chareid. You know, he's a member of the yeshiva community in Yerushalayim. Big Talmid Chacham. His next-door neighbor was an individual named Dov Frimmer. Also a Rav. But he's more famous for the fact he's a professor in Mishpat Ivri. I think now he's at Hebrew University. Dov Frimmer also, his PhD thesis was on basically Das Yehudis in Torah, so he is an expert in the field of hair covering and so forth and so forth. So I said, Yitzchak, you learned to respect the Rav from Dov? So I said, Yitzchak, this is fascinating. Dov holds the halacha that women can wear pants, and Dov's wife wears pants. Dov holds the halacha that women do not have to cover their hair, period. Remember, that's his area of expertise. He's machmir in that he insists that his wife cover her hair when she goes outside. That's a chumra be'alma. He doesn't hold the halacha that it's necessary. So I said to Yitzchak, I said, fascinating, Yitzchak. Dov holds these two things. And he looked at me and he said, if Dov says that it's mutter, that Dov has a halachic basis for its mutter. And the bottom line statement that he was saying was, remember, he learned to respect YU from Dov. Not that he tolerated Dov. He learned to respect. If Dov says it's okay, then Dov understands it to be the Ratzon Hashem. This is what Yitzchak was saying to me. And I have no doubt that Dov's motivation is to do the Ratzon Hashem. That was a tremendous indication. That was the exact opposite of Sinas Chinam. Why? Because Yitzchak changed? I think Dov also respected Yitzchak. I should tell you that as well. But I should tell you that Dov would say the same thing. But the fact of the matter is, because I spoke to them, Dov was mutual respect. But the fact is the ultimate value is not what they did. The ultimate value was to do the Ratzon Hashem. And where does that come about from? Lo zazim misham. That originally there was friction. Yitzchak was correct to have shalos. He was correct to have his position in the beginning. This, that, because he was committed to Torah. Wants to work it out. But then, he didn't leave until he understood that the other shita was also a shita of Ratzon Hashem. And that is the bond of Klal Yisrael. And that can only come about when you have the passion of your shita, and then you're able to get into confrontation and debate and discussion with someone who has another shita. And then you have Avos Yisrael. And by the way, that's not Rav Moshe's language, I believe. That's Gemara's language. He actually says that. He says that this is the basis of Ava and Achva. Moshe says it, and he says that real Avos Yisrael, he says it comes from this confrontation when it says Vahav Vesufo, when there's love in the end, is he says that is the way to create Avos Yisrael. Through being able to debate. And that's also on an individual basis. If you have a broigen with someone, say something, hopefully you have to check out the other person, can listen to it, but you always want a dialogue. If you think an answer to any problem is not dialoguing, then you're mistaken. And on the major principles of Klal Yisrael, if you think your answer is not dialoguing, you are mistaken. But I want to take this one step further. Okay? Because the fact is that it's also necessary to take this Next step. I should also mention that according to Rav Moshe, this substantiated, if you have a sheet in Torah that is not developed with dialogue with people who are in disagreement with, I would say, I would take it one step further, that your sheet in Torah is actually lacking as a chesed shel Torah. There's a begam in your sheet that hasn't developed through through analysis. And Rav Moshe goes on to say that Beisil and Beishama, even though they disagree, they're both chesed shel Torah. They're both absolute segments of Torah. So I'll take this one step further. I want to argue that if you have developed the Shita, but if you haven't developed your Shita in argument with someone who holds the opposite of your Shita, then there's a weakness in your Shita. Elu ve'elu is not just a nice concept. To have elu ve'elu dibrei Elokim, to be a dibrei Elokim chayim, to actually be a chesed shel Torah, you actually have to be, it has to be the result of you being involved in shakti v'tari of someone who disagrees with you. For example, Mitzvah Chinuch. We talked about Achi Rabin, that we're supposed to follow the majority. Mitzvah Chinuch makes a very powerful statement. He says that you only follow Achi Rabin when the Rabin had the ability to argue with the Miut. But the Rabin never argued with the Miut over their position, then there's no concept of Achi Rabin. In other words, there's an inherent pigam in the Rabin if their position has not been developed in argument with the Miut. If you have not argued with someone, there's a disagreement. In fact, someone just told me recently that the Marsha, if he didn't have a chance to really work out something that they measure, he just didn't talk about it. So there's a pigam in your Chesed Shel Torah. Your Shita does not have strength unless you've argued it out. And it's a pigam in the Avos Yisrael. But I think we have to take this one step further. What I'm arguing here is that, going back to Shlomo Paul Hirsch's statement, there's a concept of self-seeking. When you say you're interested in Ratzon Hashem, then basically you understand that you are searching for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That God becomes more important than your own self-position. Also, community should become more important than your own position. So the Tzeef says something very interesting. I said before, and I want to take this to the next step, because right now I'm talking in the Beis Medrash, in the halachic world. But it's also important to take these concepts to extend beyond the borders of the halachic world, wherever we define the halachic world, and also into the general world. The Tzeev, in his Pesicha de Bereishis, says it's called Sefer Yashar. He says that you're not yosher if you call someone who you disagree with to not be kairosin in it. Because that seems, now you can justify your hatred. Fine. But then he goes on to make a remarkable statement. He then says, but why is it that Rashis is called Sefer Yosher? Because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov treated the surrounding nations with ahava, with love and respect. In other words, to be a yosher, in the first place, he says, it's wrong, you're not a yosher because you basically call someone you disagree with as an apikaris and min. Then he takes it to the next step and says, and even if they are, even the roibdi of ozor ha-mukhurim, even the disgusting idolaters, still the yosher must treat them with a certain level of menshuchkeit. That's what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did. While still maintaining their standards. He makes a point of this with Avram. Avram maintained his standards. When the Melech Sodom wanted to give him some kind of present or whatever, he said, no way. I'm maintaining my standards. At the same point in time, he prayed for them. And he was pious then and so forth. It wasn't until Yaakov was really pushed that he told off Lavan. So the fact is that what he says is that in terms of Yashar, he says that's a concern for humanity. It's a recognition that we do not live alone. We don't live alone as individuals. We don't live alone as a frum community. We don't even live alone as a Jewish community. We live in the community of mankind. And that's what Yashar is about. And therefore, in terms of understanding what you do with feelings of negativity, hatred, anger, whatever, you have to be extremely careful not to use them, even though you feel righteous and it's right, not to use them for the destruction of a world. So he says, the thief says, that was the greatness of Avram. He's looking at Yaakov, the Avos. When they were committed to their values, they understood that there was a value in the world being. There was a value to mankind and humanity. And therefore, what we see here is another aspect that in terms of our Sina, the greatest problem of Sina is that Sina can feed us and feed ourselves. It can specifically feed our self-righteousness. It can particularly feed our sense of self-evaluation, our sense of values, our sense of what we think is important. The self can feed it. There are two things that we must remember. Ultimately, we must take those feelings because they're important feelings, because they are the passion of Torah. They are what make us passionate. They make us yell and scream when we learn. Our conclusions are important to us. Okay, and what I hear from Moshe, he was very adamant about his own conclusions. Doesn't mean you weaken in yourself. It doesn't mean, this position doesn't mean you just sort of say, oh, I'm going to be relativistic, I'm going to give in to everything, everything's okay. You stand your ground. But you understand that ultimately, you stand your ground. Those feelings that you have of anger and hatred are there to create passion that is then to bring energy into Klal Yisroel. The energy of Torah learning on its highest level, where everyone gets involved, and the chesed of Torah is truly purified through the shaklan v'tarya between people who disagree. And then from there, you begin to understand that the ultimate value is the Ratzon Hashem. And therefore it creates ahava, because you see in that person you disagree with, tremendous ahava. You see tremendous commitment, and therefore there's ahava to the real goal. And that is to be coupled with the recognition of the commitment of Yashar, the commitment to society as a whole. And you must ensure that whatever you're feeling, especially as it is strengthened or is pronounced in self-righteousness with arguments and values, you must ensure that you still maintain the community, you still maintain the society. And therefore you build that you don't live alone, you live with an olam. And the fact is to be a yosher, you have to consider the olam. Seeing as chinim were people from. They thought they were right. And they thought that them being right was more important than the olam. The antidote is to recognize there's a value in the feeling that you're right. It's part of learning Torah. All the Gedolim who wrote for him did so because they thought they were right. But you have to understand that Torah is greater than the self. The ultimate value of Torah arises from the shitot of Torah, the halachic spectrum of Torah, and you have to be committed to the confrontation and the development of Torah in its full development. Because that will create the real bond of Torah, which is the recognition that we are committed to the Ratzon Hashem. Not our own individual position, but we are committed to the Ratzon Hashem. And with that, we are committed to the development of the Olam. Thank you.